When you have money, you start investing in your future. When you start investing in your future, you start worrying you'll make mistakes.
Oops.
When you start worrying you'll make mistakes, you can't sleep at night and watch infomercials.
Pick up cat hairs from clothes.
When you watch infomercials, you think you can get rich by placing tiny classified ads in newspapers. When you place tiny classified ads in newspapers, you subscribe to those papers to make sure your ad is running. When you subscribe to a bunch of newspapers, they pile up at your house, making it look like you're not home. When you look like you're not home, Girl Scouts don't come to your door. When Girl Scouts don't come to your door, you don't get to buy Girl Scout cookies. Don't miss out on Girl Scout cookies. Get rid of get-rich-quick schemes from infomercials and upgrade to Money Talks.
This is Money Talks.
We're back. You're listening to Money Talks. I'm Troy Harmon here with Sean Athariot and DJ Barker. And we just filled you up with some serious knowledge about the kiddie tax and the changes that we've seen in our taxes. See, this thing is just not fading still. On and on and on.
Yeah, but more importantly, when are we getting our Girl Scout cookies?
Well, it is Girl Scout cookie season. I think the first wave of orders was, it was the end of last month. So just a few days ago. But you should be getting your Girl Scout cookies soon. We'll say within the month. Hopefully you froze enough from last year. You still have a few left.
There's some reserves at the bottom of the barrel.
I mean, I know a lot of folks that actually do that. But anyway, let's get to some financial questions. Before we do that, let's give folks a way that they can get in touch with us. Probably the absolute best way is to call our question hotline at 1-855-429-9166, where you can record your question. We listen to it, answer it on the air after we play it back. You can also give us a call and talk to a human being at 770-429-9166. Or you can email us at drgene@hensler.com. That is drgene@hensler.com. I think that's probably about the best spelling I've done in a long time.
Wonderful.
Pretty amazing, right? anyway, if you would like to answer your own question through some information that we've provided, you can also go to our website at hensler.com, H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R.com, and we have quite a few scenarios. If it's a pretty broad topic, you may find your answer there. But feel free to check it out and give us any feedback you might. But we do have a question today from John from Alpharetta. John says, Vanguard Intermediate Term Treasury Index Fund seeks to track the performance of the Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Treasury 3-to-10-year index. I have very little money in bonds and believe we are in a rising interest rate environment. Long-term bonds are a horrible investment in this environment. Short-term bonds pay almost no interest. If I am willing to keep money invested for at least 10 years, are medium-term bond funds okay for a rising interest rate environment? Well, you know, there's quite a bit that we could talk about here. Number one, we actually prefer bonds over bond funds because of the fact that when you are investing your money in a bond fund, especially in a rising rate environment, and I would argue that 3-to-10 is actually giving you exposure to the longer maturity, the longer end of the yield curve, then you might realize as bond yields rise, bond prices fall, the value of your bond fund is very likely to fall. Now, why do we like individual bonds? An individual bond is a contract between the issuer and the purchaser, or the lender in this case. It's basically what it makes you, right? You're an investor, but you're lending money. You're expecting to get a certain interest rate back in return. But some of the characteristics are you have known cash flows. And as long as that issuer does not default, you're going to get your interest payment on time at a specified amount, and it's not going to change. That generally for a bond happens every 6 months, twice a year. At the end of that contract or bond, the maturity date, you also get your final interest payment plus your principal back. That being the case, think about it. If you invest and you know your interest rate at purchase is going to be, let's just call it 2% in the current market. It sounds low, but it's kind of what we deal with sometimes.
Higher quality.
Right.
Shorter term.
Right. Exactly. You know, so you're talking about a 2% return on your bond investment. It's going to be very near 2% no matter what. So, you know, the market might fluctuate back and forth.
So the values will fluctuate.
The value will fluctuate. You'll see it change probably on your statement, your monthly statement. But in reality, nothing changes. Your cash flows are known as to the amount and the timing of when you're going to receive them. So, you know, you can kind of weather the storm of a rising interest rate market at that time.
It's not all bonds, right, Troy? I mean, though you said individual bonds, I mean, there are still bonds out there that are higher risk than others.
We
need to make sure we're doing the research on, it's not just, okay, well, this is a corporate, so I'm not going to buy this bond fund, but here's a corporate bond that I'm going to buy. Well, depending on that type of product, you got to really do your research. It could be low quality.
That is true, and usually we use rating agency information to determine what we would call high or low quality. Usually we buy in the top three ratings from both S&P or Moody's. The problem is what we've been recommending lately is not so much corporate bonds, which do have that that credit risk attached relative to a treasury. What we've been buying is either a treasury or a municipal over the long term, but lately we've been getting better rates, better yields in CDs, certificates of deposit. And they're not the CDs that you go to your bank and buy, by the way. It's
brokered CDs.
Yeah, brokered CDs, meaning they're traded on an exchange. Yeah.
And an idea, John, if you know we're in a rising interest rate environment, obviously short-term bonds are returning very low. I wouldn't personally want to be in bond funds in a rising interest rate environment. You know, you could look at laddering some, depending on how much you have. You said you have very little. Not sure what very little is to you, because you have to buy a minimum of 1,000 in one bond.
Right.
But you could look at doing, you know, some short term, maybe 6 months, 9 months, a year, so that as interest rates go up, you can take advantage and it comes mature and reinvest it into something higher. But then lock out something, you know, no longer than 3 to 5 years, so that way you get a little bit of a boost on the long end. And I say long end, it's still short term. But in this interest rate environment, I wouldn't want to go out longer than 5 years.
Right.
You know, because we do think interest rates are going up.
Yeah. And I can just tell you, because I look at the yield curve quite a bit. And what do I mean by the yield curve? It's basically if you, you know, cross the left side of the page, so going up is going to be the interest rate. Across the bottom of the page is the time till maturity. The further out the yield curve you get, meaning 2 year relative to a 10-year, the 10-year should be yielding a higher amount.
Right.
So I noticed that it's pretty steep until you get to about the 5-year level. And then from a 5-year to a 7-year or a 10-year, just for instance, this past week I saw I could get CDs at 2.65% in a 5-year, but if I go out to a 10-year, I get 2.75, double the time that I'm going to be locked up in that bond and get 0.1% more. It really, you know, the risk that you take there is just as Shauna was describing. The risk here is that rates increase to the point where you know, you're locked up in that 10-year bond at 2.75, and, you know, rates even down the curve, like a 5-year goes to 3%. What are you doing now? You got a bond that you've locked up. In that instance, if you had to sell it to get a higher interest rate, you're going to lose money because you're going to have to sell that bond at a lower rate than its face value, its issued value. So, bonds can be quite complicated. If you have specific questions about your portfolio or your bond portfolio or the potential for buying bonds or even a bond fund, we'd love to talk to you. You can call us at 770-429-9166. Ask for DJ or Shauna, and either one of them could help you out. So here's the one thing I do want to tell you. What happens after yields rise? We just described this. You know, it's an increase in cost for corporations. They go up. Who knows how far they go up or how long it takes them to go up? I did note that the Federal Reserve Open Markets Committee this week had a meeting. They came out and said they weren't going to raise interest rates, which is kind of the benchmark for all other bonds. But we do expect three rate increases in 2018. If you look at just the numbers, it shows March, June, and then again in December.
Which an intermediate bond fund could get hurt.
It would. Intermediate. Now, when you're talking about 10-year, as I just said, you know, some of those bonds are not paying that much more than a five, but they have more sensitivity. We call it duration, you know, in the industry, but it's sensitivity to interest rate changes. So if you assume 0.75% increase in a short period of time, you know, if your bond is at a 10-year, usually it's about 3/4 of that is the duration. So 7.5 times 3/4% is pretty much how much you could lose in a short period of time in a bond fund of this stature. Now,
which you want it to be safe because it's in a bond fund.
It's a fixer.
That is true. What I would tell you is if you waited a little longer until you did see some of those bond yields increase, maybe buying it later. You know, you buy those at kind of the top of the market. It's not something still that we talk about trying to game and time, but still a different strategy. All right, let's get back to the questions again. If you would like to have us answer your question, you can call us 770-429-9166, where you can talk to a human being. You can call it and leave a recording on our question hotline, 1-855-429-9166. Or email us at drgene@hensler.com. Again, that's spelled H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R. So we've got a question here from Scott from Decatur. Said, I wanted to check in with you on Archer Daniels Midland. I bought it a few years ago on your recommendation. Okay. What are your opinions on this holding? Let's go through a little bit first. The ticker on Archer Daniels Midland is ADM. They're a processor of corn, wheat, cocoa, oil seeds, and other agricultural commodities. They're in the consumer staples sector, but they sound a whole lot like materials. A lot of these, a lot of their products wind up on your table, maybe not identified as ADM products, but nonetheless, that's where they come from. Over the past 5 years, ADM earnings have grown at 0.89%. Not a huge amount. Long-term growth expectations. This is kind of an indication of where analysts overall believe they're going. 8.5%. The company's a bit expensive when you look at the PEG ratio, which is the forward PE divided by the growth rate. Now, let me explain a little bit what forward PE. It's the current price divided by earnings expected over the next 12 months. You take that number and then you divide it by the expected growth rate. In this case, would have been the 8.5%. You get a number, 2.06. We actually like to buy companies when the valuation on the PEG ratio is around 1. So you can tell this is twice that much, pretty expensive. Dividends have been growing like crazy. They pay out about 55.5% of all their earnings in a dividend. Current yielding over 3%. It's well covered, meaning that the earnings have more than covered the amount that's paid out in dividend. You could probably also derive that from that payout ratio I gave you a little bit ago at 55.5%. But the dividend coverage ratio is 1.8. So anytime it's better than 1, we believe that it's well covered. All things considered, you know, I like this space right now. We heard materials are falling off, but again, this is a consumer staple. It's generally a conservative company. The PE ratio at 17.3 is significantly below the overall market. This is one of those things, and when we talk about staples, it's companies that produce products that you're going to buy
no matter what.
No matter what. Yeah. So, recession, you know, even during recession. A recession, these.
Toothpaste, toothbrush.
These tend to be a lot more conservative, and actually, I like the space right now. You know, if it's up to me, you said you own it, I would say press on, keep owning.
Press on.
I like it. Or buy more. I mean, I would even recommend a buy here. So, you know, it's a good company, solid company, been around for a long time. You know, it's got that general stability even in downturn, which, okay, let's face it, when information technology has been kicking tail like they have been for so long, this looks really, really boring. It's hard to own when you're looking at the rearview mirror and you see, you know, nothing but gains over the past year.
That's something to talk about because, again, I mean, the last couple of years, that's what we've been in.
Yeah.
And, you know, right, there's going to be a point when a 20% return with IT is not going to be there. Yeah. So you're going to have some of this, you know, investment in your portfolio.
Right. This is the reason we diversify.
Diversification. Yep. There you go.
You might want to sell a little bit of your information technology.
Trim it
buy
back.
Buy you some of those.
That's hard to do, right? You've had a good run.
It really is.
You got some gains. I don't want to pay the taxes. It's been a good run. What if it goes up more?
Yeah.
Well, what if it doesn't?
Right.
It's not going to go up forever. We know that we're going to have a situation. So
there's one way to avoid paying taxes. Just let your portfolio fall apart. Yeah.
Avoid the gains. Wait till they go down and then sell it.
And then sell it.
You know, we have these conversations with clients and we have the same thought process as they do, you know, from time to time. But the thing that separates us from them is we're not emotional about their money. We're only emotional about our own, right? So it's real, and that's the reason you hire an advisor, is to get somebody in there that thinks more logically when they're talking about your stuff.
Yeah. And if you're not looking at rebalancing your portfolio with the last few years of gains, it's a good opportunity to do that now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. IT was up 38% in 2017. If you just back it up a month and a half to our election in 2016, financials were up a little bit less, but almost the same amount. So over 38% in the last, you know, year and 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's significantly more than we would ever expect the stock market to give you in return. Last year, the S&P 500 as a whole gave us 21.8% return. That's awesome.
But didn't you say you guaranteed that this year too?
No, I don't guarantee anything. I don't even guarantee that the sun's going to come up tomorrow. What I do guarantee is 2 days ago we had a blood moon.
That was
a blue
amazing.
Moon, too. Yeah.
Blue.
January. We had a blue moon, meaning we had two full moons in January. And it was a blood moon. It was, what is that one that's real close? I forget.
And there was an eclipse in the moon, too.
Yeah.
It was
amazing. Yeah.
But we couldn't see it.
Just
the West Coast could.
Yeah. Anyway, pretty amazing stuff.
The Edward Jones guy could see it.
All I can guarantee you is that we had a 21.8% return in the S&P 500
last
in 2017. Going forward, I can tell you what the statistics are and what I believe will happen, but I'm not guaranteeing a thing.
All right.
All right, guys, let's move on. Renee from Mableton says, Mom is getting older and doesn't like to be alone as much because of her limited mobility. Is a nursing home the only option for long-term care? This is assuming that you've bought long-term care insurance, right?
Yes, or, you know, or for long-term care insurance, right? So the policies, they cover home health care, some assisted living. It really depends on the policy, but home health care can be expensive, though, so you may end up using your benefits faster than you want to.
Right.
And, you know, if she's not getting around as much and she wants to be around people, you know, maybe she would want to go to some sort of facility. It doesn't have to be nursing home. Maybe somewhere where they, you know, have get-togethers and, you know, you get to meet other
social
people around
events.
You.
55
exactly.
and over.
Sure.
That's right. That's right. But long-term care is not going to kick in until you have, you know, three of the seven
right events.
Exactly. You can't dress yourself, feed yourself, bathe yourself, that kind of thing.
Man, I'm almost there.
Yeah.
No?
No.
Okay. If you ask my wife,
it wasn't the fade haircut
agree.
We were talking about.
Yeah, well, at least I still have barely enough to cut.
Yeah.
Which is a plus. Someday.
It is a plus, absolutely.
I was talking to somebody this morning and told them that I've still got as much hair as I've always had. It's just that it's
further
shifted back on my forehead, and some of it's even growing out my ears. So, you know, that's just the way it is. All right. I don't think we have enough time for another call. So, guys, what am I going to ask you? Shauna, is the market going to be up or down this week?
I think it's going to be up.
Up. All right. Well, we had a bit of a pullback, and that's so strange to us these days. DJ, what do you think? We're going to see a continuation.
I love it. I'm saying up.
Wow.
Yeah.
These people are folks of my own heart. I believe that the market will be up this week as well. I really think that overall our economic situation is beneficial. The fundamentals are solid. The only thing, and I've harped on this for a while now, the only thing that I see is the fact that valuations have gotten a bit ahead of themselves. I will tell you that the earnings numbers that we talked about today, 14.5%, that's almost back to first quarter 2017 numbers, which were up 15.5%. So I got to tell you, things are still looking pretty good. I wish earnings would catch us up on that P.E. ratio, and I'd be solid. We'll talk to you next week. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.